It's Saturday, the 14th of May, 2016. Happy birthday to Dennis Rodman. Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Loot Crate and Tom Ben A. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast and be like Tom Ben A, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be that sponsor. Thank you to Tom Ben A, one of the great group of listeners coming from Israel. So thank you to Tom for sponsoring today's podcast. Or Tom Ben, I don't know which one it is. One of those names. Tom Ben, congratulations. Thank you. Your support is awesome. This is going to be the last of the DFS podcast for the season. We've got one game left in the conference semifinals, then we head into the conference finals. The sites, I don't know. They've never done past the second round previously. Maybe they do conference finals. We're not sure at this point, but there won't be any more podcast previews for DFS action after today. We're going to be covering, in today's podcast, Game 7 of the Toronto-Miami series, and we're going to be covering Game 1 of the conference finals between the Thunder and the Warriors, which is the contest that's up on sites at the moment, a Sunday-Monday two-day contest. I don't think they'll be running stuff throughout the next round. They might be. But the podcast we'll be having won't be focusing on that sort of stuff, on any DFS projections. So without further ado,
let's get to it.
What the podcast will be doing, and the podcast will still continue throughout, we'll be moving into our season review show. So we'll be looking at each team and going through what happened during the season, how the players looked, which players regressed, which players improved, who is set to improve, who is set to regress, dynasty targets, rookie production, all sorts of stuff throughout the season for every team, and trying to get you a leg up heading into next season, trying to give you just a look back on what happened during the year and get some idea of dynasty values for guys, with dynasty trades always still happening throughout any time of the season, dynasty startups happening throughout this part of the season as well. It's always a good idea to get an idea of maybe who I think is worthy of acquisition, or worthy of someone who's jumping up, and get some conversation happening covering all 30 teams. So that's what we'll be doing after this podcast. Probably get started in the next couple of days for that as well. But what we're here today is to break down Game 6 of the Raptors and Heat, have a look at that one, and then preview those two games, as I mentioned before. So let's get stuck into the monstrous line of the night for Friday's games. And it was Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat. He played 37 minutes and he put up 45.7 points on FanDuel. He had 22 points, he had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, but he also had 2 steals and 3 blocks, which is obviously a tremendous amount of defensive stats for a guard. He hit another 3. He wasn't efficient. He went 8 of 21, but much like Kyle Lowry in Game 5, he put up a stack of points without being efficient. He's shooting sub 40%. So a pretty nice night from Wade. And he's been fantastic throughout these playoffs, really turning back the clock, decided all of a sudden that he can hit threes again after not doing that for basically the entire season. Carrying this team that is sans Chris Bosh, without Hassan Whiteside, with a banged up Luol Deng, Wade is doing everything he can to keep the Heat in it. He's taking it to a Game 7 back in Toronto on Sunday, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that one plays out. You would hope that you would think that the Raptors will be favorite, but we obviously have to wait and see how that all pans out. The best DFS value play from Friday's games was Goran Dragic, also of the Miami Heat. He played 38 minutes and he looked great. He was 12 of 21 from the field. He had 30 points. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Hit 2 triples as well. None of the defensive stats of Wade, but at $2,000 less, you got a pretty good result getting 42.4 FanDuel points out of Dragic. And he's been great when he's been given the opportunity in both of these series. In some of the times when they've frozen him out, they've sat him down the stretch, they haven't given him the ball, and they've gone to a lot of Wade hero ball, Dragic hasn't been effective. But when they have given him the opportunity, and when they have given him the ball, he's been really good. And that's sort of the theme for Dragic throughout the whole season. He was lost for a lot of the time on this team because they just wouldn't give him the ball and they wouldn't let him operate what he needed to operate to actually be successful for himself and to be successful for the team. But on the occasions when he did, yeah, things came through and he was still that guy that was an All-NBA third teamer back in Phoenix a couple of seasons ago. So the talent's still there, just the system hasn't fit Goran Dragic very well over this last, season and a half in Miami. And a lot of that is to do with the way that Wade plays. And I just got off praising Wade for how well he's played, but there are times when he has been poor in terms of not involving Dragic, and the pairing of those two doesn't work all that often. But in this one, it worked pretty well. On the flip side, the dud of the night, same team, it's Luol Deng. He was priced at $6,000. He was battling that wrist problem. He played 41 minutes, and he scored 2 points. He was great in the second half of the season. They moved him to power forward when Chris Bosh was out, and he was, it's a renaissance for Deng. We're talking 3 or 4 seasons ago type of production. He was a must-own in fantasy leagues. He was a great DFS play. The playoffs have hit, and he's been really poor. He's struggling to get to 30 points DFS-wise. He only had 14.6 in this one, and at 6,000, he's been a losing proposition almost every time that he's played. Despite the lack of good power forwards around it, it's really been tough to rely upon Wade. 2-8-2 in this one, 1-5 shooting, 1 block, has really, really struggled, and interesting to see what happens with him. Free agency coming up, the emergence of Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, Chris Bosh maybe coming back, maybe not. Who knows what they're going to do with Deng, but definitely his arrow is pointed downwards in a pretty significant manner. Let's get into the game and look at some other performances in the game. We'll talk from the Raptor side of things. They never really looked to be a chance of winning this towards the end. The Heat got over the line by 12. Lowry was good again. It's a second straight game. He's been pretty impressive. 36-4-3. And DeRozan had 23-4-2. Poor shooting once again. 8 of 21, going 7 of 7 from the line. And Lowry went 9 of 10 from the line. So productive there. They scored a lot of points. They took a lot of shots as well. 48 shots between them. And no one else on the team got into double digits. I suppose that would be more criticizable if Jonas Valanciunas was playing, because he would be deserving of 15 to 20 shots. I don't think he'd ever get 20 shots, but maybe 15 shots. But without him playing, there's no one else who's really demanding the ball. The problem is that Lowry and DeRozan are just so inefficient scorers that it really creates an issue for this offense, and we've seen it time and time and time again. Pat got another start. He went 8-8 in 33 minutes. His price is appealing for DFS, but his production really never seems to top that level. While Bismack Biyombo with another start. Offensively, he's really limited. 14 points. 4 points, 13 boards, and a couple of blocks. Not a bad night there. Damari Carroll played through his own wrist issue. Only played 25 minutes, 5-6. Hasn't been a great season for Damari Carroll. A real step back for him after some great years in Atlanta. Corey Joseph, he's standard self, and it's pretty predictable what Corey Joseph is going to do. He's going to provide great minutes, he's going to be solid out there, and he's going to provide nothing stats-wise. 7-3-1 for Joseph. Terrence Ross had 6 points in 24 minutes, and we saw Bebe Nogueira and Jason Thompson split the backup center minutes. In the first game without Valanciunas, it was Nogueira who played the backup center role. In the next game, it was Jason Thompson. In this game, they split the minutes basically in half. Predicting what they're going to do for the next game is going to be tough, but they're not going to have an impact DFS-wise either way. Normie Power played 3 minutes, and he has really struggled in this series. Onto the Heat, Dragic, Wade, we spoke about. Joshy Richardson, one of his better games, 9-5-2 with a couple of blocks. 33 minutes is probably the key stat there for Richardson, so he is going to be an interesting guy to look at in a punt situation in tournaments for the next round, or not the next game, actually. Joey Johnson, 13-4. That's all right. Josh McRoberts played his standard 18 minutes. The Heat went with Justice Winslow as the starter at center. He played 27 minutes and was actually worth looking at. 12-3-1. I think he'll remain a guy that you could consider at that lower price range if he's going to get another start. I can't see any reason why he won't get another start. McRoberts doesn't look like he's capable of playing over 20 minutes. Amari Stoudemire is cooked. Udonis Haslam didn't play at all in this one. There was no Gerald Green. It was Tyler Johnson who got the Green's minutes there, playing 15 minutes and going 5-3. That was it. Just a quick touchback on the Oklahoma City San Antonio series. Really amazing stuff for the Thunder to beat the Spurs, not only to beat them, but to beat them in 6. A huge, huge victory for them, and to win 4 of the last 5 games of that series is a tremendous, tremendous performance, especially after getting their asses literally kicked, well, not literally, figuratively kicked in game 1. A tremendous performance. And before the series, I did tweet it, I think this might be the most entertaining series of the playoffs. It certainly has been so far. We'll see what Thunder Warriors is going to be like. But so many people anointing Spurs-Warriors. Spurs-Warriors is going to be the real NBA Finals. Can't wait for Spurs-Warriors. Can't wait for Spurs-Warriors. It's the real Finals. That's who's going to win. We didn't even get it. And that's what can happen. And that's why it's good to see this stuff play out. And to me, I'm a big fan of single elimination stuff. I know that a lot of people, we want the best team to win, best of 7. I like single elimination. I like throwing up some curveballs, and it will never happen. I think it'd be super interesting to see the NBA go to single elimination in the playoffs, win one game, and if not, you're done. I reckon it'd be really supremely interesting to see that stuff happen. But congratulations to the Thunder, commiserations to the Spurs, and I can't wait for that Western Conference Finals to kick off with the Thunder and the Warriors are kicking it off on Monday, I believe. Gonna have a quick word from our sponsor Lucro. Then we'll be back to talk a little bit about the Scott Skiles news, which I'm sure you're all waiting to hear my thoughts on that. But Loot Crate is today's sponsor of the podcast, and it is, as you well know, a monthly subscription box service, including Epic Geek and Gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and every month, Loot Crate will send you between 6 to 8 items, including licensed apparel, licensed gear, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. They have a theme every month. This month's theme is power. It ties in with the summer blockbuster movies that are coming out. There's a couple of Marvel items in there. There's stuff from Captain America. You've got Warcraft. You've got Dragon Ball Z. I'll say it for both types of pronunciations. There's unbeatable characters, unrelenting, unstoppable power. That's the theme of the crate for this month. It is power, so you'll find heaps of great stuff in there. Something for your kitchen, the standard t-shirt, the pin. If all that sounds appealing to you, make sure you head to lootcrate.com/redrock. And that helps the guys at Loot Crate say that you came from this podcast. And then if you're interested in purchasing a Loot Crate subscription, you can save $3 by using the coupon code REDROCK. Now, Loot Crate, slight change in policy as of today. If you're going to use that coupon code REDROCK, you have to do it when you go to the website lootcrate.com/redrock. You can't just go to regular lootcrate.com and use the coupon code REDROCK. It won't work. You have to be at lootcrate.com/redrock, and then you can use the coupon code REDROCK and save $3 off any new subscription. That's a new policy that Loot Crate has instituted today. So if you are looking at going over there, it's always great to go to lootcrate.com/redrock anyway, because it drives traffic and helps people know that you've come from this show. But if you then want to use that coupon code, you have to do it whilst you've typed in that address and not just going cold from the lootcrate.com site. Make sure you are giving appropriate kudos to this site and helping keep this big bright light that's on in my face on for the rest of this season, next season, and many more seasons to come. Lootcrate.com/redrock is the site that you need to go to. All right, Scott Skiles. I woke up on Friday morning and my phone was alight with notifications. Scott Skiles had resigned, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't understand it. I thought, you know what? We're whittling away the shit coaches one by one. Mitchell was gone. Byron Scott was gone. George Karl was gone. It was great. We still have Kurt Rambis floating around in New York. Hopefully he's gone. He won't be. He'll be there, which is just as crazy can be. I thought, okay, Skiles is there. We're going to have to put up with him for another 2 seasons or so. He had a 4-year deal. You know, he might get fired after his third. He's not going to get fired now. As dumb as it is, it was dumb as it was hiring him in the first place, as dumb as it is having him there, he's going to be around. Then he resigned, and it was completely confusing to me. Obviously, there was a disconnect between Skiles and management. Rumors are coming out now that in January, Skiles had told higher-ups in the front office that he didn't want the job anymore, that he was regretting taking it, which is obviously a massive red flag. At that point, the magic wheels completely fell off. They were horrific over that time period. Skiles' coaching was horrific anyway. He's just a bad coach. And a lot of people will point to the fact that, yes, the magic improved 10 wins. Scott Skiles, they improved 10 wins. I don't care. He's still a bad coach. Who's to say that Scott Skiles got the 10 wins out of them, or it wasn't natural improvement from young players? Victor Oladipo going into his third year, Alfred Payton going into his second, Aaron Gordon going into his second, Evan Fournier going into his fourth year, Nick Vucevic going into his fifth year. These are still all young guys. Did the improvement not come from them? I don't think that Skiles gave them 10 wins because he does a lot of things that are incorrect. He's never had success anywhere he's gone. He has been mediocre. He's a bad communicator. He's a poor teacher. He doesn't offer anything. And then he gets into arguments with front office. And the argument coming out was that he wanted Brandon Jennings to come back. He obviously orchestrated that Brandon Jennings trade, which was a horrific, horrific deal for the Magic moving forward, losing a young asset like Toby Harris for 2 expiring, really shithouse veterans in Jennings and Ilya. So a horrible, horrible deal. He obviously was the driving force behind that. And he wanted Jennings to come back and wanted him to be the starting point guard over Alfred Payton. Management said no. Now, there's a lot to blame here. If management's being that strict, no, Payton is our point guard moving forward, why do the trade in the first place? The second thing is, they did the trade. Skiles brought Jennings over and then didn't play him. Look, why would you be, I need to bring Jennings over, he's going to be the guy, he'll be my starting point guard over Payton, and then not play him and play CJ Watson over Payton and over Jennings, and Jennings would have like two games at 22 minutes and then play 3 or 4 minutes. None of this makes any sense, logic from anyone. The front office, from Skiles, is all ridiculous. In the end, the front office came to their senses that we're not running Brandon Jennings over Alfred Payton. We want him to be, at least work to be our starting point guard. He showed tremendous flashes at the end of his rookie season under James Borrego. And he had a couple of good moments under Skiles. But he was jerked around, as was Victor Oladipo, as was Aaron Gordon, as was Nikola Vucevic. You know, all of these guys who were supposed to be in developmental stages of their career and the foundation of being, you know, maybe unearthing a star. Maybe Victor Oladipo becomes a star. Maybe Aaron Gordon becomes a star. Maybe Alfred Payton becomes a star. But you wouldn't know with the way that Skiles coached, because he would make every single move, which in his head, let's scrounge out one more win. He was as short-term thinking can be. It's not about let's play Andrew Nicholson 25 minutes and let's bench Gordon and play him 17 because it might give us one extra chance of winning one more game in March when we're already out of the playoffs, which is exactly what happened when Gordon was really limited down the stretch. Yes, he had some injury problems, but he was also limited by just Skiles' buffoonery. You're playing guys like Jason Smith and Andrew Nicholson ahead of him and Ersan Ilyasova is ridiculous. It is mind-bafflingly stupid. And playing Jennings and CJ Watson? Jesus, CJ Watson didn't play for about the first 4 months through injury, and all of a sudden he was playing 30 minutes down the end of the season. It was ridiculous. That argument, as I said, there's lots of causes for it and lots of reasons for it and lots of mistakes made by both sides. But in the end, the front office said, well, no, we've got to run our young guys. And I don't know if they threatened to fire him, Scott, but they couldn't have threatened to fire him because Skiles would have just said, cool, fire me. I'll get my payout for the next 3 years. He resigns. He gets none of that payout. A very, very odd situation as to why he would resign. His motivation obviously wasn't there. The decisions he made were done. And let's hope, and not for any negative purposes on Skiles and nothing against him or his family on making money and feeding himself, which I'm sure he's got plenty of money to do that. Let's hope we never see him on an NBA sideline as a head coach ever again, because he has never shown that he can be a good coach. He's shown that he can be a mediocre to average coach with no ability to plan for the future, no foresight, no development, no ability to foster relationships. And that's not what the NBA needs. So Skiles, done. There's one stinking turd left in the coaching ranks, and it's in New York. And unfortunately, that looks like it's not going to go this year unless something miraculous happens. At least I'll have one coach to rant on next year. Look, maybe someone else will come. Maybe Kenny Atkinson will be really bad. We'll wait and see. Maybe Tom Thibodeau will do some dumb stuff. Yeah, unlikely. Maybe Earl, you know what? Earl Walton's there. Maybe I'll be able to hang some shit on him. Yeah, Scotty Brooks isn't immune to it. Whoever they hire in Orlando, whoever they hire in New York, if it's not Rambis. There's lots of ability at the moment. Rambis is standing out like the biggest sore thumb in terms of coaching shitfulness at the moment. Let's talk games. Let's look at these two games for the Sunday-Monday contest. As I mentioned, this is the last DFS preview podcast that there will be, but the podcast will continue. And over the next couple of weeks, I should have an exciting announcement to make, and we'll have the sign-up details for the Dynasty Leagues. And remember, there is going to be, at minimum, two Dynasty Leagues. There's going to be a 30-team real salary cap Dynasty League. There'll be another 30-team league. Another 30-team dynasty, and I'll probably have a 14-team dynasty league as well. Then we'll have the 12 Red Rock head-to-head listener leagues, which we had this season, and then we'll also introduce a listener league contest with Roto Leagues as well. So there's going to be a stack of listener leagues happening over the next couple of months, and the only place where you can find out that information is on social media or by listening to this podcast, and there'll be different entry abilities or entry ways of entry that'll be mentioned throughout shows coming up. So make sure you are still downloading, subscribing, leaving reviews, and listening in for some interesting times ahead. Games. Sunday, Miami at Toronto, Game 7. It's a Sunday afternoon affair. Let's look at the point guards. Goran Dragic is at 6,400. He had 42.4 points today. It was a tremendous performance. He's going to have to be solid again. He's one of the better he's the only mid-price point guard that's on the board at the moment, because the other ones we've got Westbrook, Curry, and Lowry. So you're going to have to go expensive with one of the point guards. Now, you might go expensive with both of them, But I think that Dragic is a real solid guy to save you some cash and enable you to spend some money in other areas. Kyle Lowry has been really good lately, and despite some of his poor performances, he's averaging 44 points across the last three. But at 8,600, that's really expensive, and he's only just returning 5x value there. It's game seven. He's going to have a big game. There is no Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside has been ruled out already. So I don't hate using Lowry, but if you're spending up, and if you've got the funds to go 10,000 plus, and Curry and Westbrook are obviously more reliable and better options. But it could be a case of you get 46 out of Lowry, and you might get 50 out of Steph, or 52 out of Russ. And then in that case, Lowry becomes the better value play. Corey Joseph, yep, great, but not translating into points. Tyler Johnson, no thanks. At shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan. Which DeRozan are we going to get? Are we going to get big-time DeRozan? He only had 31 today. He's at 7,700. Or are you going to get big-time Wade, 8,300, elimination game on the road? I think that Wade is a pretty decent choice here. He had a nice 46-point performance, but there is a slight risk. And saving 600 bucks, DeRozan is not horrible. Back at home, he has played well at home. He's a big chance to go for 40, but he's also quite a risky play. So he's more of a tournament play when I want to go lower ownership. If I'm looking at high ownership for cash, Wade is probably the choice here. Terrence Ross at 3,600, he's a real deep punt. If I'm punting, though, I'm taking Joshy Richardson at 3,800, who played 33 minutes in today's game and put up 22 points. He's averaging 19 across the last three, which is pretty decent value for a 3,800 salary guy. Gerald Green and Normie Power, no thanks. Small forwards, Damari Carroll at 4,700. He's been underwhelming, averaging less than 20 in the last five games. At 4,700, there is a chance for him to have a decent one, but there's no reliability for me with him. I do like Justice Winslow at 3,500. I'm okay with him in cash. In a tournament, I don't love him because I don't think the upside's all that high, but in cash, I feel like okay that at minimum salary, he can get me 18, 19 points, and that really saves me a lot of cash to splurge in some other areas. 5,500 for Joe Johnson, it's not something I'm really keen on. I would rather take Carroll at 47 and hope for a bigger outing from him than spend 55 on Joe Johnson. With the power forwards, Luol Deng at 6,000 just has not been returning that investment at all. He's averaging just 17.5 points across the last five games in 38 minutes. He's basically half a point per minute at the moment, which is horrific. Steer clear of him. I would rather take the 3,800 on Patrick Patterson and get 20 points out of him because he's going to have a big role with no Jonas Valanciunas. And that could turn into a 20-24 point performance. And if you get 24 points out of Patrick Patterson, you are absolutely laughing. Josh McRoberts at 3,500. He's been all right, but he's just not going to get big enough minutes for me to be too trustworthy. Udonis Haslem, Jason Thompson, not huge amounts to really like with any of those guys. Let's look at the centers. Bismack Biyombo is at 5,700. That's making him a little bit harder to play just because his offensive game is so limited. Now, he's averaging 28 across the last three. He had 25 in game six. And at 5,700, that's almost exactly where he needs to be value-wise. So he's not a great play. He's not, oh, look at this massive steal I'm getting with Biyombo. I don't mind him for cash. I don't love him for tournaments. I don't think his upside's all that high. Yeah, Noguera, Stoudemire, none of these guys are going to be all that interesting to me, and I don't think there's really much point of putting either of them into a tournament setting. I just completely forgot that I forgot to do the perfect DFS lineup. I'll bring that up and I'll do that in a sec. I just got to get the list up. Where are we? Completely forgot. Here we go. All right, so the Thursday, Friday, perfect DFS lineup. Kyle Lowry and Goran Dragic, 43.3 for Lowry at point guard, and Dragic went for 42.4. At shooting guard, Dwayne Wade, 45.7, and Andre Robertson with a game of his life, basically. He put up 29.9. I would not be banking on that happening again. Small forwards, Durant at 48.8 and Kawhi at 45.3. Power forwards, Serge Ibaka at 27.5 and Joshy McRoberts at 16, and Steve Adams at 34.2 would have given you a total of 333.1 points. Back to the games, Oklahoma City and Golden State. Point guards, we know the matchup. It's Steph, it's Russ. There's a lot to like, obviously, from a visual perspective, watching the game, and from just the fact that these guys are awesome players. I don't know how much further you need me to go into that, but both of those guys are pretty impressive. In terms of their pricing, for some reason on Basketball Monster, the prices aren't up for that game yet. But what I do like is I do like getting Steph involved in there. Now, he's expensive. He's not quite as expensive as Russ. So I think he's someone that's worth considering. Livingston, he's not going to be worth a look for. Cameron Payne, no good there either. The way that I do like looking at it is, I think you have to spend up big, and I think you have to get one of Westbrook or Curry into the lineup. I think that has to be the way that you do it at this point. Which one of them? It comes down a little bit to personal preference. I think I'd probably take Russ, to be honest. That would be the direction that I would lean in. It's not, not super confident with it, but I think it's still probably the best way to go about it and feel more confident in getting 50 points by getting Russ out there. At shooting guard, Klay Thompson is, if I'm picking a high price shooting guard, it's going to be Klay over DeMar DeRozan and over Dwayne Wade. He's the guy to go for here. And I do like Dion Waiters. He's at 3,800. He's more of a tournament punt, and you hope that something pans out. I think he'll have less success against the Warriors than he did against the Spurs, but I still think that he is someone that's worth considering. Small forwards, we've got Durant. Obviously, Durant is in for I think Durant's in a pretty good spot here. He's averaged 60 the last three times he's played the Warriors at 10,100. I think he is the high price guy to build around. You've got Steph, you've got Russ, you've got Draymond, all those other guys there. But to me, Durant is the guy that I really want to build around. Harry Barnes at 4,300 is a punt option at small forward. And I probably prefer punting on him than, say, a Damari Carroll. But I don't have a huge amount of confidence in using him. At power forward, Draymond's there, but we saw in game 6 that Draymond wasn't quite at the same level, and at 10,200 he only put up 37, and with Steph back I don't think he gets to that 50 level, so I'm not loving using Draymond Green here. I would rather get those $10,000 and spend it on a point guard or spend it on Kevin Durant. Serge Ibaka at 5,200, I think he'll have a little bit of a better matchup against the Warriors, but the way that the Thunder have been running things with Adams and Kanter, it does limit his effectiveness, so I'm not huge on using Serge Ibaka. As for Kanter and Adams, I think Adams is the guy that I want here out of these two guys, both low price centers. Adams is up to 5,200, but to me, that's a bargain. It's cheaper than using Bismack Biyombo. He's averaged 32 points across the last three games. I think that with the way that Steve Adams is playing, he looks like a massive breakout player to me and should be a draftable guy in standard leagues next year, given the way that he's going. Kanter at 4,900 is worth considering, but I don't think he's a great option. And Andrew Bogut, whether he plays or doesn't, I wouldn't be using him if he played. There are other cheap options out there. And if he misses, Festus Ezeli, Andy Varejao, Mo Spates, none of these guys really show me enough to consider. I think your center options are going to be Adams, Kanter and Biyombo. They're the three guys that you sort of have to decide who you go for. To me, Adams is the number one out of those three players, and then probably Biyombo next, even though you do have to spend that little bit extra to get both of those guys. Okay, we are done for today's podcast, guys. I hope your season was a success. Seasonal leagues, DFS leagues. But remember, don't go away. This podcast will still continue. There will be all the season review shows. You'll see me tweeting out or Facebooking out. If you have any questions for each particular team, I've sent out tweets for the Sixers, the Lakers, and the Nets so far. They will be the first three teams that we do, and there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff happening throughout the offseason. This podcast never stops. The NBA never stops, so make sure you're still tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. Follow Basketball Monster at @BaskMonster, and check out all the stuff at HardwoodParoxysm.com, that's the web address, HardwoodParoxysm.com. Articles, podcasts, great stuff going up over there. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.